It's been 4 years since the militant Islamist group Boko Haram kidnapped 276 girls from a high school in Chibok, Nigeria. The attack caused international outrage, but more than 100 of those girls are still missing today. Well, last week, a similar scene played out in the town of Dapchi, about 170 miles from Chibok. Boko Haram fighters stormed a girls' school there in Dapchi, and 110 girls went missing this time, assumed kidnapped by the militants. Dion Searcy is West Africa Bureau Chief for the New York Times. She's in Abuja, Nigeria. Dion, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us exactly what happened on Monday. What do we know about how this scene unfolded?
What we know so far is Boko Haram militants from the Islamist sect stormed a school in Dapchi. This is a small town in northern Nigeria. They arrived in town, residents said, specifically looking for the school, stopping to ask people to direct them to the school, in fact, and arrived there, guns blazing, got out of the trucks, and started rounding up girls.
What's been the government reaction to this sort of copycat attack? People have been through a version of this before.
People have been through this before, and everyone's surprised, you know, that it could happen again. But also, the government really badly mishandled. I think everyone can agree when the Chibok girls went missing in 2014, there was a lot of silence and misinformation and rumors and only acknowledgement dramatically after the fact, a couple weeks later. Here, the time frame is shorter, but similar things have happened. The federal government was silent for at least a day and a half or 2 days initially after this. The governor of the state where Dapchi is located, in fact, told parents the girls had been rescued. All the parents came to the school the next day, you know, hoping to see their daughters, and the governor showed up empty-handed and said, oh, in fact, I've made a mistake. So, you know, your daughters haven't been rescued, and that prompted a minor riot. I mean, people stoned the governor's convoy and were really obviously upset. The military now has publicly blamed the police for not keeping these kids safe. The police blame the military for not telling them they're leaving. And so it's just a big mess.
And so the finger pointing continues, Dion, but Boko Haram was thought to be significantly weakened in Nigeria over the last couple of years. At least that was some of the reporting that we were getting here in the United States. What does this attack show about their strength in Nigeria?
Well, I think when President Buhari came in a few years ago, he really made a concerted effort to revive the military's action. And the military has done a good job taking back control of territory that Boko Haram had seized. But what we've been noticing recently is the military doesn't seem to be that great at holding ground. They'll maybe attack a Boko Haram enclave and then leave, and then Boko Haram comes back. And so I think what we've seen recently is a sort of renewed effort from Boko Haram. I mean, they have been pulling off more complicated attacks on military convoys. They have sent tons of suicide bombers streaming into, you know, marketplaces and mosques. Meanwhile, the president has repeatedly declared that Boko Haram has been defeated. And Nigerians are just, you know, laugh at the absurdity. I mean, obviously they're not defeated, but the government still keeps making that claim.
And do we have any indication of what Boko Haram is trying to accomplish with this latest attack, other than abject terror? Are they hoping to barter for the release of these girls? What do we know?
I mean, that's what a lot of people are suspecting. There were about 100 or so Chibok girls who the government negotiated for their release, and some other high-profile hostages, some police women and university professors recently who were released. And I've been told ransom, you know, in the millions of dollars was paid for all those hostages to be released. And so some people speculate that maybe this was prompting what was happening with Boko Haram in this instance in Dapchi.
Dion Searcy, West Africa Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.